Let us pray. God of the first light, God of the early morning, God of the empty tomb, we come before you today and we ask that you be with us, tangibly in our hearts and our minds as we reflect on these amazing words. Speak to us, O God, that we may hear you in our hearts, feel you in our souls, and be enlivened for the day to come. This we pray. Amen. As far as anyone knew, Jesus was dead. This was the only truth that those women had in their heads on that first Easter morning. And unlike us, who are so distant from physical death, They knew that experience intimately. It was these women who were there when Jesus took his last breath. It was them who mixed all the anointing oils by hand. It was them who were going to touch his cold, dead flesh. They didn't flinch or hide from death. Instead, they looked it square in the eyes, or at least they intended to, if they only could get that great stone rolled away. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what was going through their heads that moment when they approached the tomb? Panic? Confusion? When they found it wide open and empty? One more thing heaped on to the trauma of the last few days, watching their teacher and friend die on a cross, not being able to care for his body because it was the Sabbath. The thick grief of his absence, still in the air, and now he was gone. Who had taken his body? Where had he been taken to? That feeling of being robbed of the rituals that they are so used to, and the kindness that they wanted to offer him this one last time. In that moment, the sting of death was all too real. And then from the darkness, a question. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? A question that for these women didn't make a lot of sense. After all, they were not looking for the living at all. They were in search of a corpse. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were there to mourn, to care, to prepare. And then these dazzling strangers drop words that would change them forever. You know them. He is not here. He is raised. Remember what he told you. To those women, in their confusion and fear, these heavenly strangers say, stop. Wait. Think about what you know. Because we all know that in grief, sometimes it's hard to stop and think and remember what we know. And in remembering, the ground shifted. For three times, Luke tells us that Jesus said to them that he would die and would be raised. In the faint glow of the morning, they remembered. And though they might not have truly understood what was going on, that small fire of hope was born. And that they couldn't keep to themselves. After a year of so much death, A pandemic, mass shootings, tragic accidents, and of course, natural causes. After a year of being more or less entombed in our own bubble for protection, we find ourselves here this Easter Sunday. As we gather, both in person and virtually, we gather. We gather here today, where the mess of real life is still among us, where there is still fear and loss and grief, injustice and illness continue to be present. Where this is all still happening, we come to the tomb this morning by faith. For our faith tells us that even in the mess of life, with today's dawn, something has shifted. With the women, we come to remember. We remember Jesus, who had promised to come again and tells us that with him, comfort, hope, and joy will be found. We come today because even when it is still dark, even when we cannot see and don't understand how Jesus offers us resurrection and new life, we trust that it is possible. In the first light of today, we too hear the voice of the men dazzling in clothing, asking us, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And maybe this question doesn't seem as absurd as it did when it was asked to the women at the tomb. Because if you are like me, this past year, you have been looking for the living, for those places where we still find connection and hope and joy, transformation and resurrection. And maybe on those days this past year, some of what you found, you found yourself looking for places of life that turned out to be more like death. Like the endless watching of Netflix, or staring at news feeds, or the constant criticizing or grieving over what we could not do. Or maybe you found yourself trapped in an earthly system that either directly or indirectly brings death, like those seeking shelter only to find themselves on the receiving end of racism, abuse, or neglect. Or maybe over this long year, you have learned that some of the ways of thinking and being that you thought were helpful and life-giving only ended up wrapping you further in a burial shroud. Like when we act strong, only to suffer with grief and loneliness in silence. On this Sunday, even if we find ourselves looking for the living amongst the dead, we give thanks. Because our Easter story goes through places of death. It goes through the loss and pain. It goes through the tears of grief. It goes through the uncertainty of what will come next. And we all have some of that. And it goes through faithful women at the tomb who took the time to care for the dead. as we enter into the season of Easter, as we get glimpses of resurrection in the world around us, let us remember that there is nothing wrong, cowardly, or passive about tending to the dead and the places of death that we encounter. It takes great faith and compassion to go to the tomb with spices in hand, to lay our hands on that which is dead, and to wrestle with the forces that bring death so that we can lay them to rest once and for all. On that first Easter morning, God honored the faith of the women who showed up to do the work of caring for the dead. And because they were willing to do this hard and sometimes uncomfortable work, they were also the first to receive the proclamation, "Jesus is not here, he has risen." And this Easter Sunday, God continues to the work of bringing life and overcoming all of those earthly collaborators to death through the power, love, and life of Jesus Christ. The resurrection life, made known that first Easter, continues to challenge and subvert all the powers that rely on fear and violence. It continues to give courage to those who face intimidation and terror and loss. And it demands truth in the face of the lies told to us and by us. As we faithfully tend to the dead and those things that bring death, we are called and empowered to also tend to the resurrection life that God breathed and breathes into this world. For the two go together. And the truth is, those of us willing to bear witness to death, violence, and the grief of God's beloved, those of us who stumble to the tomb in the deepest dawn, we'll find ourselves in the best position to also hear the good news. Jesus Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. That is the ancient call of the Christian community in response. So let's try it together. For we come today to the tomb with spices in hand, and we hear, "Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed." So that's your guys' line. Ready? "Christ is risen indeed" is your line. Jesus Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
And now, as we reflect on those places that we are called to tend to, as we reflect on the ways that God is breaking into your life, as we reflect on the fact that the tomb is empty and Christ is risen,
Christ is risen.